Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Power Words, Shir number 73. We're going to talk today about suggesting unwanted advice. If a person asks you for advice, it is a great act of chesed to give helpful advice if you're competent in doing so, and the other person will appreciate and benefit from the advice that you're giving. But if there's a person that does not want to hear your suggestions, it's clear they don't want to hear those solutions, then you distress him by giving him or pushing on that person unwanted advice. Even if you have a valid argument to your point of view, even if you're logically correct, even though you're convinced that your advice can help, but if it's clear that they're not receptive and they're not listening and they don't want to hear what you have to say, then you are annoying him and sometimes even aggravating him more by expressing your opinions. And people who are very opinionated should work on gaining a good judgment to differentiate between the mitzvah to give a etzah tova and when silence is the best policy. You know, that's why I mentioned it several times that in the bracha of Hashiveinu, v'sakneinu be'etzah tova mulfanecha, what I have in mind there is Hashem should give me personally etzahs in front of him that I could serve him better. But also that Hashem should give me etzes, you know, that to know when and how to give it to others the best possible way. Sometimes it's not a matter of giving advice. Sometimes it's the biggest chesed you can do for a person is simply to be a supportive listener, to listen with interest, to listen with concern to what the other person has to say, to empathize with that person, to avoid giving advice that's not wanted or is inappropriate for that particular individual. So this is the balance of giving advice. There is a sefer called Mitzvah Eitzah by Solomon Rabbi Epstein. It may be out of print, but it talks about this concept. But again, this is something that requires siyata d'shmaya and skill to know when you give advice and when to not say the advice, but rather just simply be a listening ear. And another thing is also that when someone is already doing something that you want them to do, and they're not interested in doing it, let's say you're an employer or something, or whatever it is, or a spouse, a sibling, you said, please do this, and I will need you to do this, and they're starting to. It's frustrating to hear them repeat it again. Oh, make sure to do this and this. Did you do it already? How are you doing this? And be on top of them with that. Once they're doing it, what you ask them to do, you don't need to emphasize them because, you know, that they're doing it because you ordered them to, and so on and so forth. Just let them do it. Now, part of the concept of Einos Devarim, and to be very careful, the Yisoid is what he calls tact, T-A-C-T. T-A-C-T is sort of the art of being very wise, tactful, they call it, to prevent hurt feelings. People that are not tactful, they don't have those nuances, or they don't learn it, and it could cause a lot of damage. They don't always do it lahaches to aggravate somebody, but if they don't have that tact, they don't have the knowledge of it, they could hurt people, and they just lack that knowledge of better ways, more tactful ways to make their point. The principle behind this word tact is that you have to sense what to say and need to sense how to avoid saying what to avoid saying in order not to offend the other person. When you're in the presence of another person who is very tactful, make notes of what he says and how he says it. A big pikeach, a chacham, the way he talks. You listen carefully how he talks to other human beings. And with this tact, you'll be able to say many, many things that could be beneficial to another person to hear, and you won't be violating Einos Devarim at all. So the lacking tact, which would cause Einos Devarim, would be to say something like as follows. You did something awful. I can hardly believe that you could do such a terrible thing. Obviously, that's Einos Devarim. The tactful way is, let's say an employer, he's mechoyev to say it, or a rebbe, you know, whatever, that you did not meet your usual high standards this time, but I'm certain next time you'll return to back to your normal self of how good you are, something like that. The lacking tact thing would be you're hypersensitive, you're neurotic, stop being a baby, stop being a fool. Don't let put-downs bother you. Why when people say put-downs to you to bother you, shouldn't allow them to bother you? That's lacking tact. Tactful way of saying the same thing would be is that you have many strengths and many, many good qualities, and you don't need to feel hurt by put-down. You're good enough just the way you are. So let's work together to desensitize you so you could cope better in the future if someone tries to put you down. If you lack tact and you're looking at the guy how he writes and you say your spelling is atrocious, the tactful way of saying this is that you already spelled a lot of words correctly. Here's a good book that will help you improve your spelling, or let me help you myself. When you lack tact, you say something like, be honest with yourself, you have no talent in writing, and the sooner you realize it, the better. I know Astavarim. A tactful way to say it is as follows. You're a magnificent speaker. You can easily keep an audience spellbound. However, your writing does not do the justice to your ability to get your point across with tremendous impact. So I suggest that you get a professional editor to add life to your written words. See, that is where you're putting in a positivity, but you're also bringing it to the fore. Another example, you look deathly ill. You look sick. A tactful way of saying that is, you know, I see you don't look that well. I'd strongly recommend that you see a doctor. Now, if it's an emergency, you may have to be more pushy, but even then, be careful with the way you word things regarding that. So that's the idea of tact. It's not just a simple push at a common sense thing that, it's, you know, it's nice to have. But no, it could actually save you from the violation of Einas Devarim many times over. Another thing to recognize that would hold back Einas Devarim and a lot of Sinas Chinam and a lot of misunderstandings is to recognize that people have different tastes. Chavetz Chaim gives an example of a mushel, and I think it's the Be'er Mayim, like a note on the Chavetz Chaim, like a side note, but a very long note. Talks about that the bad minig when a Rav used to need support, so sometimes he, or drush, a darshan, used to go from town to town, get some funds for it, or get paid for it, but used to give drushes in different basins, but they midrushim, that's Lashon Hara, to blast that person, and to say that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and this net, you could actually literally ruin the person's life, and his parnassah, he goes through it. But he brings an important point there. He said, and it's very often, it's not that that Rav or that Darshan, that you said something negative about that Drasha, that they actually did something wrong. It could very well be, listen carefully, that this Rav just was speaking about a subject or in a style that's not suited to your personal taste. But to other people, it's Niskabel. And just because the Rav or the halacha drasha, or the magid, whoever it was that is doing this, did not click with your style of what you enjoy, does not mean that it was not effective, or that he wasn't erlich, or didn't leave a reishim, and all these negative things you say is totally sheker. It's based on just a matter of taste. It's a matter of it's not a matter of right and wrong. Basically, it's individual preference. So when you insult someone because his tastes are different from yours, your insult implies that it's objective. There's an objective evaluation of taste, but there's no such objective evaluation. You know, you're mistaken if you tell someone you have no taste if you could like that. What do you mean? He has a different type of style of taste. That person has his own standard or her own standard. Choosing to insult someone because their tastes are different than yours is wrong. So, for example, they're wearing something that you feel is poor taste. Be tactful how you mention this to him. Instead of saying you look dreadful, you could say it seems to be that, you know, you could look much better if you do such and such. Or you could insult the person by saying, I don't know how any normal person could choose what you did. You had deplorable taste. You look like a freak in that outfit. And a positive approach would be, excuse me, I think it would be more appropriate for you to wear such and such. That would enhance your appearance. So there's a way to insult the taste of others, by the way, without explicitly saying something negative. For example, if one clear violation of this prohibition is to ask somebody that what he would advise you to choose between two choices, and then the person says, I choose X, and then you answer, now if you said X is preferable, then I'm going to choose the other one. You know, people do and say these hurtful things, and it's very, very important to work through it. So these are skills. Again, going back to the premise of a lot of these shiurim on power of words is the following, is that a lot of this is skills and education and, like the Masilas Shem says, going through things that are in our brains obvious to us. There's nothing that we say here in all these shiurim, and Baruch Hashem, we're up to 73 at this point, that's not common sense. But that's the idea. Common sense is very rare because we don't internalize it. So these concepts, for example, like today, of not to suggest unwanted advice or don't push advice on someone else. And there are times where it's a mitzvah to be silent and just be a listening ear and to have a shikl to know when yeah, when no, and to daven for it and also look out for it are skills that can help. Not saying superfluous comments or what we just talked about with tact, the concept of tact, of being tactful. That could save you from hundreds of averis of agnoas dvarim. That you don't, again, this is not even your, sometimes a person unfortunately is malicious, they let their nasty streak get the better of them, but there are times where you don't mean to be nasty at all, you're well-intentioned, but you really lack that tact, and you can't say to yourself, oh, either I got it or I don't got it. No, it's trainable. It really, for the most part, is trainable. You know, you can find a certain literal person that'll be harder to get through, but it is trainable to learn how to be sensitive in the manner in which you speak to somebody else. And the idea also, the last idea, of people having different tastes. And this is the idea, this is why, Be'ezus Hashem, at the time of recording, I didn't do it yet. We didn't assure my HSPs at the time of this recording, towards the end of that. But I want to start talking about personality types, because this is the very essence of what we talk about, of different tastes. That people have different tastes, meaning in this case, it's more than taste. People have different ways, the way their brains work and the way their preferences work and how they view the world is different because of the different personalities. And when you learn to respect each other's personalities, it changes the dynamic of everything in the most beautiful way. Bracha v'atzlacha.